was lost, now I'm found. Like a glimmer of hope that will never let me go. You bring peace to my soul. The world can never satisfy. You've opened up my eyes to find. Hey, you give me technicolor.
Rest assured in your love, my comfort. But I know I can trust you. Every step that I take, you are with me all the way. Caught in rhythms of grace.
I was afraid to let you know my deepest thoughts, secrets untold. But you know me more than I know.
to another week of Camp South Grove. We're so excited that you are here with us. And today, I'm even more excited because we are going to be learning about...
Hey! How are you?
Yeah, what's going on? Are you okay? Where are you running?
Well, I'm on my way to go play Capture the Flag with some friends. And I really, really want to win. But the team we're playing is really, really good, and I'm really worried, and I'm a little discouraged.
Well, you know, that's actually good, because this week we're learning all about how God can be our hope in tough situations, you know, like when we're discouraged.
Oh, really? You know, I think I'll stay around to hear that.
Yeah, but before you go to your Capture the Flag game, I was wondering, could you answer a question for me?
I mean, I guess.
Okay, it's really fun. If you could have any pen pal in the world, who would be your pen pal?
You know, I would want to have my pen pal be the first ever T-Rex.
A dinosaur. Why didn't I think of that?
I know, right?
Oh, that would be incredible. Well, I'll let you get to Capture the Flag, and the rest of us can head over to see Cowboy Cooper and our new memory verse. Let's check it out.
Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3.
The best decision that we can make in life is to follow Jesus. And yet, following Jesus often brings with it many challenges. In fact, Jesus even tells us that we should expect opposition and even persecution. For all of us, the real test of our faith does not come during the easy times, but it comes during the times of these difficulties and discouragements. After the success of Paul's first missionary journey through the region of Galatia, his second missionary journey got off to a rough start. Before he had even left Jerusalem, he went through a painful split with his longtime mentor, co-worker, and friend, Barnabas. Then, as Paul set off to reach the province of Asia with his new partners, Silas and Timothy, they were met with continual setbacks and frustration. However, in the midst of these challenges, they got a word from God to change course. They were to cross over to Europe and bring the gospel message to Macedonia and the Greek world. In some ways, Paul would be right at home traveling and teaching in this part of the world. Like Paul, Greek culture placed a high value on intellect, reason, and philosophy. The Greeks were very familiar with teachers who would travel from town to town, charging people money to come and hear them speak. These teachers were masters of rhetoric and persuasion. They would smooth talk their way to fame and fortune. In coming to Macedonia, Paul did not want to be mistaken for another one of these self-serving Greek teachers. To keep his message free and accessible to everyone, Paul did the very thing that these Greek teachers thought was beneath them. He worked with his hands as a tent maker. This set him and his message apart from all of the others. What was his message? Hope. Paul brought a message of eternal hope to a culture where little hope existed beyond this life. The Greeks were polytheists, worshipping a pantheon of untrustworthy gods and goddesses such as Zeus, the king and god of the sky, Poseidon, the god of the sea, and Hades, the god of the dead and the afterlife. Speaking of the afterlife, the Greeks had a well-developed idea of what happened to people after they died. When a person died, they believed that the soul departed the body and went to the realm of Hades, the abode of the dead. The most virtuous souls might be able to enjoy a pleasant afterlife in a higher realm of Hades, but most would be relegated to a long, boring existence in a dark, shadowy realm. The one thing that everyone had in common was the unrelenting and inescapable grip that Hades had on their soul, locking them in for all eternity. In the midst of this hopelessness, Paul's message of hope broke through. He spoke of Jesus who rose from the dead, will come again, and will rescue those who have faith in him. Paul's stay in Thessalonica was cut short when an angry mob forced him to leave the city. As he left, he worried about this new church. He feared that this persecution would create too great of a challenge to their young faith and that they would turn away from Jesus. To find out how they were doing, he quickly sent Timothy back into the hostile environment of Thessalonica. What Timothy discovered is a community that had remained strong in their faith in the midst of this persecution. They continued to hold on to the hope that Jesus would one day return and they would enjoy his victory in his coming kingdom. But they still had some areas of confusion surrounding the topic of the return of Jesus. In the weeks since Paul left, some members of their church had died. In their Greek thinking, they had a hard time wrapping their minds around the idea of a future resurrection. Because of this, they feared that those who died before Jesus' return were trapped in the realm of Hades and would be left out of Christ's coming kingdom. To bring hope and encouragement in both the return of Christ and in the coming resurrection of his followers, Paul wrote the letter we know as 1 Thessalonians. Fortunately, this letter put their minds at ease about their loved ones who had died and their place in the resurrection. But unfortunately, they seemed to misunderstand some of Paul's message and were now confused about the timing of Christ's return. They misunderstood Paul to be saying that the return of Jesus was happening imminently. So imminently that some of them had stopped working entirely and decided to wait for the coming of Jesus so they would not be caught off guard. So, shortly after writing 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote the letter we know as 2 Thessalonians to clarify issues surrounding the timing of Jesus' return. When we follow Jesus, often our lives do not look like what the world around us would call success. In fact, Jesus promises us that when we choose to follow him, we may face challenges, opposition, and even hostile persecution. However, there is something that he has given us that others do not have. Hope. As we look with faith towards the return of Jesus and with hope towards the future that he promises us, we can rise above any challenges and live out the Thessalonians effect.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name in that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe, and out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Oh, yes, then came the
Today's story reminds me of a verse that we find in 2 Thessalonians from the book we talked about today. It says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." Eternal hope, that's like, it goes on forever. Like it's a circle. It just keeps going and going and going. How awesome is that? Now, let's hold out our hands and finish with a blessing. Can you do that with me? May God give you eternal hope and encouragement. May he show you his strength this week. Amen. Let's see you next week.